Welcome to the Pneuma Church Podcast. Wherever you are in the world, we are so glad you've joined us. Our prayer is that this message will reveal more of who our Heavenly Father is as we grow deeper in intimacy with Jesus. Enjoy the message.
We've been in a healing series this month at Pneuma, and it's been amazing to hear testimonies of what God is doing across our church and across the community, and how He is healing, not only physically, but spiritually, healing minds, restoring people's identity. It's been an incredible year filled with so many testimonies, and I'm excited to continue this series on. And tonight, the title of my message is How the Sick Are Healed. How the Sick Are Healed. And I pray that tonight, you would feel equipped and encouraged to know how to approach sickness and brokenness in someone's body, and how to pray and release the power of heaven over that circumstance in the name of Jesus. And you know, this year, I've had the privilege to be a part of an amazing ministry that our church runs called Healing Rooms. Has anyone been to Healing Rooms before? Healing Rooms is an incredible ministry, and people come in on a Saturday morning, and as they enter into the room, we have a team ready to pray with them, and there's a worship team singing and declaring the gospel over the atmosphere. And I have seen some incredible things that God has done in that space this year. I remember seeing the faces of people when they receive healing in their bodies. It's incredible. My heart is filled with so much joy when I see the joy on someone's face, when they realize that the stories of the Bible are not buried in a grave, but they rose again. That because of the resurrection of Christ, miracles, signs, and wonders move through those who believe. Because of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, Jesus hasn't stopped moving. And I remember seeing a man who came in with a bit of a limp and a bit of an arched back. And I saw some of our team get around him and pray with him. And I was praying with someone else at the time, and I could hear this commotion going on. And here is this older man, an elderly man, jumping like a kangaroo around the auditorium as the power of God touched him. Hopping around. I knelt with a lady who had cancer in her body, a mum who was way too young to be experiencing anything like this. And we prayed, and 3 weeks later, she went and got a scan. And it was reported back to our team that she had zero cancer left in her body. Praise the Lord. I've been overseas this year in different nations around the world and have seen God move in wonderful ways where simple people like you and me laid hands on someone who had sickness or pain in their body and prayed a simple prayer in the name of Jesus, and miracles have happened. I remember being in Sri Lanka a few years ago, seeing a young girl, a Muslim girl. How's this for your faith? Some people think, you know, oh, you got to have enough faith to believe, you know, and then we'll get the healing, or like, maybe I've had too much sin. Here's a young Muslim girl who really doesn't know much about Jesus at all. She's never read a Bible. And she had a wound open on her leg, and she was showing just above her knee where this open wound was. And I asked her to put her hand over the top of it, and I got another female leader in that youth ministry to put her hand over top of it, and I put my hand over top of her hand, and we prayed in the name of Jesus. And I, to be honest, I had never prayed for an open wound before. It was purple, it was red, it looked a little bit yucky, a little bit messy. But I know my Jesus is not afraid of anything messy. He wasn't born into a polished palace. He was born into a manger. I know Jesus isn't afraid of our mess. And sure enough, we prayed. And to be honest, I didn't have a lot of faith because I'd never seen anything like this before. But I prayed a simple prayer. In the name of Jesus, I pray that the pain would go away and that she would have a faster recovery. Because I didn't have faith for anything instantaneous, but I just pray the pain will go away and she'd have a faster recovery. Bless the Lord in Jesus' name, amen. And, you know, the lady took her hand off, and this girl took her hand off, and she gently lifted up her skirt, and you could see that what was once a big open wound on the body had shrunk down and scabbed over, and all the purple swelling and infection around it had disappeared. You say, wow, I said wow, because I didn't know what God could do in that moment. But something we've learned along the way is that Jesus heals because he wants to heal. Not just because I want it, not just because I'm desperate for it. God actually has it in his heart. His desire is to heal. His desire is to heal. I want you to open your Bible to John chapter 10. John chapter 10, verse 10. And let's pray. And in this service today, I want to create some room at the end of this message. And we're going to have an opportunity to pray for people to be healed in their body. And can I speak to you today? If you've been here and you've been desiring and praying for healing and maybe you've given up hope, can I ask you to have hope again? I've prayed for things in my life where I needed healing in certain areas of my life. I remember damaging a ligament in my knee when I was younger playing rugby union, and for years I had this knee pain, and it would always flare up when I'd do exercise or if I'd bump it, and it would feel like such a sharp pain in my body. And I couldn't hardly walk upstairs at times when the inflammation would flare up. And one day I got so sick of being in pain because I knew that Jesus paid a price for it. And I got so sick of it. I said, I'm not going to accept this anymore. And every single time I felt even a twitch of pain in that knee, I started to pray. And for weeks, multiple times throughout the day, I'd be praying. I'd be walking around at work and I'd feel that twitch in my knee and I'd feel that sharp pain shoot down my knee. And I said, in the name of Jesus. And people say, what'd you say? I said, nothing. I'd be walking upstairs in the name of Jesus, trying to get up these stairs. And one day I was invited to a birthday party and I was swimming around in a pool. It was summer in Queensland. And I remember I tried to do a backflip off the edge of the pool. And when I did, I actually went so far to the other side of the pool. Anyone ever done this? And my knee actually hit the side of the pool. And I get up out of the water and I'm thinking, oh my gosh, that I know what it's like to bang that ligament there. I was expecting hell. And sure enough, I felt zero pain. I got up, I started moving it, zero pain. I'm walking around, I'm trying to test it out, zero pain. And I'm thinking, wait a second, I was supposed to pray every day for this thing. I'm scratching my head thinking, wow, it's been weeks and I've stopped praying. I haven't had pain for weeks. I didn't know when the healing happened, but somewhere along the line, my ligaments came into alignment with the will of God for healing. And my knee was completely healed. Praise Jesus. And can I tell you, I've never had a problem with that knee again. God has been good and God is healing. I want to encourage you today. We're going to pray for healings today after this service. And many of you have had tremendous perseverance and faith, and you keep showing up to believe for healing. I want to encourage you, today could be your day. I want to encourage you to continue to show up. I've continued to show up. I've had family members we've stood for, we've continued to show up. And I believe that Jesus has a heart to heal. He has a heart to heal. So Father, we thank you for your word today. I pray you'd speak to us, you'd move throughout the room. I pray tonight, Lord, that you would lift our faith. I pray that we would walk out of this place, not with a wishy-washy faith or a hope that maybe God, you'd do something, but I pray you'd give us a full confidence and a full assurance of our faith, that it would be anchored in the cross, that we would come into a fresh revelation of the power of the gospel, that Jesus, by your stripes, we are truly healed. Lord, I pray that you would increase our faith tonight, that we would walk into situations and circumstance and people's lives and we'd be able to pray with the same confidence the disciples prayed for who saw Christ raised from the dead. And Lord, we speak over this room tonight and everybody in this room and every person listening. In the name of Jesus, bodies be healed. I thank you, Lord, that you died and you took sin and sickness on the cross and you rose again. And I thank you that your spirit is here in the room tonight. Touch our bodies, Lord. Touch our hearts. Lift our faith. And may we see you, Jesus, receive the full reward of your sufferings. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen. Amen, amen, amen. How the sick are healed. Have you ever wondered why Jesus cares so much about healing? I actually had a Muslim ask me this last week, I was out in the streets and I was sharing the gospel with this man, and I shared a testimony about a miracle that I'd saw, and he'd said to me, why do Christians care so much about miracles? Why does Jesus care so much about healing? Why do you guys always talk about that stuff? Let me tell you why. I want to start in John chapter 10, verse 10. And it says this. Jesus says, the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. But he says, I have come that you may have life and have it abundantly. Somebody say amen. Amen. The thief comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy, but I have come that you may have life and life abundantly. What category do you think sickness, pain, and sin come under? Does it come under the one who comes to steal, kill, and destroy, or the one who comes to bring life? And the reason why this is important to understand is because many, many Christians, many believers, we wrestle with thoughts that maybe God wants me to have this sickness. Maybe God wants me to be in pain. Maybe I'm just meant to suffer for the rest of my life. But Jesus didn't come to let the enemy have the victory. He came to undo the works of the enemy and bring life. So anywhere you find in your life death, destruction, stealing, killing, or destroying, it's not something we point the finger at God for and say, God, why did you give me this headache? Why did you give me this disease? No, we can point the finger at the enemy and recognize that there is a real war going on. There is a real enemy, a real devil, and he wants to make your life difficult. He wants to limit you. He wants to stop you from achieving all that God has called you to do. He wants to put restrictions and cause a tearing down and a destruction of your faith. But Jesus came to undo the works of the devil and give you life and life abundantly. Amen? Why does Jesus care so much about healing? Well, as he preached everywhere he went, he proclaimed the message of the kingdom. He proclaimed the truth about who he was. He proclaimed the truth about the way we see God. He ushered in a new kingdom, and he confirmed his message was true by signs, wonders, and miracles. And here we see Jesus making a distinction, saying, I don't want you to blame God for things that are from the devil. I want you to know that I have come to bring life and life abundantly. I've heard it said like this once before, that sickness is to the body like what sin is to the soul. Both were a result of the fall. Both were a result of Adam and Eve's sin. When they sinned and fell short and they lent into the temptation of the enemy, sin and evil permeated throughout humanity, and sickness and disease entered the world. But Jesus came on the cross to take all of our sin and all of our sickness upon himself and bring restoration, healing, reconciliation, reunite us to God, but also transform the believers, the children of God, into the image of God, that they would become new creations. And not only new creations spiritually, but also receive healing in their bodies. And so if sickness is to the body like what sin is to the soul, both were paid for by the blood of Jesus. And that's a promise that we can anchor ourselves in today. Is it God's will to heal me? Is it God's will that I would be made whole, that I would be made well? Well, Matthew chapter 6, verse 10, Jesus tells us what God's will is. Have you ever wondered that? Like, God, what's your will for my life? God, what's your will for this situation? Well, Jesus tells us what God's will is. He says this. He says, pray like this. Your kingdom come. Father in heaven, your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So what is the will of God that we are to pray? on earth as it is in heaven. How do I know how to pray about my sickness? How do I know to pray about my friend's disease or my friend's brokenness in their body or a situation that seems so tough and so difficult? How do I know what's God's will to pray over that situation? Well, Jesus tells us God's will is on earth as it is in heaven. Do you see sickness and disease in heaven? No. Will you find cancer in heaven? No. Will you find a broken ankle in heaven? No. So what's God's will? God's will is that he would fill you with the power of heaven. So anytime you walk across the earth and you see something that doesn't belong in heaven, you'd release the power of heaven and see that thing, that situation restored. This is God's will. Is it God's will for healing? Yes, it is every time. I believe it. I don't build my theology based on my disappointments, my discouragements, my experiences. I anchor my theology in what Christ has said. I anchor my theology in the words of Jesus. Jesus Christ is perfect theology. I don't have to look at what another preacher says. I don't have to go listen to what another denomination says. I don't have to go and check out all of these different articles and try and compare them. I'm just looking at what do the words in red say? What happened when sick people came to Jesus? They were healed. They were healed. Acts chapter 10, verse 38. I'm going to rattle off a few scriptures. If you want to reference them, you can. But let me share this with you. Acts chapter 10, verse 38. I love this. It says, God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. Somebody say power. Who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil. Somebody say all. For God was with him. Again, another scripture showing that sickness and disease is not God's will for his children, but it comes from the devil. And Jesus came to undo it. But also notice that it says here, Jesus healed all who were oppressed of the devil. Something I find fascinating is that Jesus doesn't separate categories of healings. He doesn't treat a rolled ankle as small and a disease as impossible. He doesn't treat a headache or a paper cut as small and a life-threatening illness as really hard. Why? Because it's not a striving that heals. It's not a mustering up of enough faith that heals. It's Jesus that heals. And the same price needed to be paid for a life-threatening illness is the same price that needs to be paid for a headache. And Jesus paid the price in full on the cross. You know, I heard a story of an amazing healing evangelist. He was in the airport with his adult son. And obviously, he was an older man at the time. And this was a story from just a couple of years ago. And I heard that he was in the airport in Australia visiting. And while he was, he kind of got distracted and ran off from his son and got caught up in this retail store. And he had a word of knowledge about the person working behind the cash register and said, do you have a headache? And this person said, I have a terrible headache. And he prayed for him, in the name of Jesus, headache go, be healed in Jesus' name. And this person was instantly healed. And he comes out of the store and his adult son is like frantic looking for him because they've got to get to their connection. And he's stressing out and he's like, Dad, where have you been? I've needed to go. He goes, son, this guy's headache just got healed. Praise God. And he goes, Dad, I don't care right now. We need to go. And he slapped him, bang, over the head. And he says, what was that for? And he goes, the same price that was paid for cancer to leave someone's body is the same price that was paid for that man's headache to be healed. You praise God with me, young man. I tell you what, I started rejoicing a little more when I saw paper cuts healed. I started rejoicing a little more when headaches would leave or a pain in the shoulder would leave. because it's the same price that was paid. Nothing is too hard for him. Nothing is too hard for him. Jesus doesn't distinguish between difficulties. Jesus healed all who came to him. When Jesus encountered sickness, he healed it. Peter's mother-in-law, burning with a fever, Jesus touched her and she was instantly restored. The man at the pool of Bethesda, 38 years stuck and paralyzed, Jesus said, "Get up," and the man was healed. The lepers, outcasts of society, Jesus spoke a word and they were cleansed. Blind eyes opened, deaf ears opened, withered hands restored, demoniacs that were living in tombs delivered and made whole. Over and over again, Jesus healed every kind of sickness and every kind of disease. Nothing was too small for him and nothing was too big for him. And the same Jesus is alive and healing people today. I want you to notice something here. Notice that Jesus never turned anyone away who came to him looking for healing. He never said anything like this. He never said, "Sorry, this sickness is a little bit complicated. I can't do it." He never said, "Sorry, today it's not the will of the Father in this case, so you're just going to have to go home sick." He didn't turn anyone away. Everyone who came to him was healed. And that reveals the nature of the Father's will. Can I tell you, I've prayed for many people. Into the hundreds, maybe even into the thousands, as I've gone to different mission fields and rallies of people have come needing healing. And I've prayed for hundreds of people. It doesn't mean I've seen all hundreds of them be healed. When I first started out learning to pray and learning to believe for miracles to happen in people's bodies, I remember many times not seeing any success. And the first time that I did see a breakthrough in someone's body, I was so shocked because finally something had happened. But can I tell you, if you have to pray for 99 people before you see one person get healed, would it be worth it? Absolutely it would be. Because when you see the joy on their faces, they realize their King is risen and his power is moving through their body. Faith arises, love arises, worship and praise arise. It is worth looking like a fool 99 times in order for one person to receive a touch from Jesus. And I've looked like a fool, but I keep on praying. Pastor Cherie said this the other day. What do we do when we pray and someone doesn't get healed? We keep on praying. We keep on praying. We don't have to have an answer for the reason why some get healed or some don't. I just know that everyone who came to Jesus did get healed. So I'm gonna keep praying until they are healed. And I've had some disappointment. I remember being a young man, newly saved, full of faith, just starting to see signs, wonders, and miracles as we prayed. I didn't have a ministry. I didn't have an understanding really of the scriptures. I just read the book of Acts and I saw that fishermen were doing this thing. And I thought, if fishermen can do this thing, then I can do this thing. And by the Spirit of God, we saw God move. But I remember my grandmother getting diagnosed with cancer. And I remember standing with her and praying with her multiple times for her healing. And unfortunately, I didn't get to see her healed in her body. And temptation came into my mind in that moment. Is all of this thing real? Is it hype? Is it placebo? Does this thing really exist? Maybe I've lost my touch. Maybe God's not with me anymore. Maybe I don't have enough faith. Maybe I've sinned. And doubts and temptations started to creep into my mind and my heart. But I had to make a decision. Am I going to anchor my faith based on an experience, or am I going to anchor my faith in the Word of God? And I tell you, man, with doubts and with fears, I continued to pray when people came to me seeking prayer for healing. I continue to step out in faith. I continue to teach young people in our youth ministry how to pray for healing. And we continue to see Jesus heal. My grandmother, she didn't get healed in her body. But I tell you what, as I shared with her the truth about Jesus, as I shared with her what he did on the cross and why she could be healed because of the cross, she heard the gospel and she made a response in her heart before she died to surrender her life to Jesus. And so there wasn't a healing in her body before she passed, but there was a healing in her soul. And I praise Jesus for that. Did you know that sometimes people are actually inspired by you believing what the Bible says? I was out in the streets the other week in Carlton with some friends, and there was a Christians worshiping in the city heart, and they were worshiping and praying for Melbourne to be saved. And we were out there, and I met this Muslim man who had pain in his stomach, and I shared the gospel with him and shared that he could be healed. And I prayed for him. He wouldn't let me touch him. He was a little bit sensitive and a little bit angry that I wanted to touch him. I mean, I guess if a random man says, "Can I touch you?" I'd be concerned too. But so I pointed at him and I pointed at his belly. And I said, "In the name of," I felt faith, man. I could feel the power of the risen Christ running through my body. I said, "In the name of Jesus, pain in the belly, come out in Jesus' name, be healed." And this strong Muslim man looked at me and I said, "Do you notice any difference?" And he goes, "Nope." I said, I believe this, mate. I'm going to pray again. And I believe that Jesus is going to touch your stomach right now. You're going to be healed." And he said, "All right, pray again then." I prayed again. "In the name of Jesus, pain, I command you to get out, be healed right now." I said, "Test it out. How does it feel?" He goes, "I still feel pain." I said, "Man, can I pray one more time with you? And then I'll let you go." He goes, "Sure." I prayed again, "In the name of Jesus, be healed." I had just as much faith as the first time. I said, "How do you feel?" He goes, I'm still in pain. "But you know what? I believe you. I can see you really believe this. I'm going to go home and I believe that God will touch me and I will be healed." What am I trying to tell you in this? Sometimes it's not necessarily about when the person receives the miracle, but when people see your obedience and your faith in Christ, their heart will be moved. Countless times, my friends and I, we've prayed for people to be healed that don't know Jesus, may not have received an instant healing, but they saw the genuineness of the faith. They saw, "Wow, you actually practice what the Bible preaches. You actually believe this thing? Like, you're not mucking around. You're not joking. You really believe this." And it's so challenging when they see the authenticity of your faith that they start to think, "Is this real?" And people go back and open the Bible and check it out and see what Jesus is all, where does this come from? What is this miracles? What is this healing? And people find Jesus. You see, my responsibility and my conviction is that Jesus told us to go lay hands on the sick and they will recover. So my responsibility is to lay hands. His responsibility is to make them recover. My obedience is laying hands in the name of Jesus, be healed. What God does up to that point is up to God. And I felt pressure lift off me when I stopped trying to control the outcomes and the circumstances and just started practicing obedience to what he told me to do. And sometimes people are instantly healed. Sometimes people are healed when they wake up the next morning. Sometimes people go home and after a week they receive a healing. Sometimes people, when you pray for them, there's faith that's injected in their hearts and they start doing what I did and they walk around every day when they wake up with a sore back, "In the name of Jesus, be healed." I don't know the timing of these things all the time, but I do know that I have a responsibility to be obedient to what Jesus told me to do. If we listened to everything Jesus told us to do and we followed in his commands, we would lay hands on the sick and we would see them recover. I'm a little bit off topic here, but I hope this is helpful and encouraging. There's no record in the Gospels where someone comes to Jesus and they're not healed. And so if I am praying with someone and I don't see them healed, I know if Jesus was here in the room right now, they would be. So I'm going to keep praying. If Jesus was here in the flesh and he touched them, I know that they would be healed. So I'm going to keep praying. I'm going to keep believing. Even amongst disappointment, even amongst pain, I'm going to keep praying until I see a breakthrough. You know, I know there's movies out there and there's Christian TV shows right now. Some of them are really trending. Some of them really popular. Some of them have really great elements in them. But a TV show cannot be the foundation of your theology. It must be the Bible. And I know in some TV shows, some Christian TV shows that are trending, we shall not mention their names for the sake of avoiding controversy, but there are moments where Jesus turned people away and said, it's not your time to be healed. But I don't see that in the Gospels. Everyone who came to him was touched by him and was healed. And so my faith is not in a TV show that maybe or maybe not. This is not wishful thinking when we're praying. We're not praying hoping that something would happen. We actually have an anchor in our faith, and it's something that happened in the time that Jesus was alive. He endured the cross. He endured beating. He took on sin. And upon that cross, the Bible says he also took our sickness and our pain. Brokenness in our bodies. His body was broken so that ours could be healed. 700 years before Jesus came to earth, there's this prophet named Isaiah who declared this prophecy describing the suffering servant. Amy read it before. The suffering servant who would come wounded for the sins of others. And Jesus fulfilled over 300 ancient prophecies through his life, death, and resurrection. And this is one of them, Isaiah 53, verse 5. It says, he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. And the chastisement for our peace was upon him. And by his stripes, we are healed. We are healed. When I am praying for someone to be healed, I'm not putting my faith in my prayer. When you pray for someone to be healed, you're not putting your faith in the atmosphere of worship. When you pray for someone to be healed, you're not putting your faith in how much sin or how much righteousness do they have in their life. When we pray for someone for whatever circumstance, we put our faith in something Jesus accomplished 2,000 years ago on the cross. The price does not need to be paid by my prayer and fasting. The price for their healing does not need to be paid by how loud I speak or how strong I pray. The price was paid 2,000 years ago on the cross. By faith in his name, we activate the power of the gospel and we bring it into reality. I'm not praying that Jesus would come again and do something new again to bring about their healing. He brought about their healing on the cross. And so by faith, I access a reality that is outside of time and we bring it into the now and we say, in the name of Jesus, be healed. The Bible says in Revelations that he is the lamb that was slain before the foundations of the world. This is an eternal truth, an eternal reality. Healing is not bound to the time that Jesus was alive. Healing is released by the Holy Spirit into hearts of those who believe. Yeah. You know, this just even the other week when we were doing outreach, I've got all these testimonies just from the other week. Praise the Lord. And many of you that were there would have testimonies as well. And we praise God. We'd love to hear them. Maybe let us know and we can celebrate those with you. We would love that. But while people were worshiping, there was a man who came riding past on his bicycle. And he stopped and he was filming people singing and worshiping in the city. I mean, it is quite a weird experience, you know. You're walking around and then there's Christians with their hands facing the sky and worshiping. And he was quite fascinated by the passion. And I said to him, hey, mate, how you going? Do you know Jesus? And he turned the light off his bicycle because it was shining in my eyes. Irrelevant detail, but it did happen. And I said, do you know Jesus? And he said, Yes, I know Jesus. I knew him when I was a young man. But now I don't walk with Jesus. He's from Chile. And while he was there in Chile, when he was a young man, he had a relationship with Jesus. But since moving to Australia and change of circumstances and career and life, he'd not been following Jesus. And I shared the gospel with him. I said, man, Jesus loves you. And he came for you, not just for a religion, but he came, he died, he bore your sin upon himself so that you could be set free from sin and come into a relationship with him. He doesn't just want you to go to a church. He wants to come inside your heart and live and walk with you and talk with you like you did when you were a child. He wants to walk with you. And he's like, yes, I believe this. Yes. His heart's stirring within him. And some of the believers that were there were about to take communion together. And they walked past us and said, hey guys, you want to take communion? And I said, sure. And I said, do you want to take communion with me? And he hesitated. He said, I don't know. Thinking about his sin, thinking about how he probably doesn't deserve to pray right now or doesn't deserve to be taking communion right now. And so I said to him, I said, man, if you believe that Jesus died on the cross for the forgiveness of your sins, and that he rose again from the grave 3 days later, and you put your trust in him to be your Lord and your Savior, you repent of your sins and you surrender your life tonight afresh to God, you can take communion with me right now and he'll come and make his home inside your heart. And he said, I want to do this. I want to do this. And in that moment, when I saw his faith, this thought popped into my mind that I believed was from the Holy Spirit. And it was this thought that said, ask him if he has pain in his body. As he takes communion, he's going to be healed. I said to him, do you have any pain in your body? He said, yes, I've got pain in my upper back. In my upper back, I've got pain. And I said, well, I believe that as you take communion tonight, by his stripes, you will be healed. His body was broken so that yours could be healed. Do you want to take it with me now? We prayed together. We took communion. And he stood there and it was like a son coming home, you know, into the presence of God. He stood there and was like, thank you, Jesus. And he felt the presence of God. I could feel the presence of God. And I said, how's your back feel? And he goes, oh, it's good. I am healed. I am healed. I am healed. And praise the Lord, because all of a sudden, what was communion now became a reality in his body. What was preached and written in the Bible now became a reality in his body. And he has a testimony that he can declare today, that he can tell his workmates and say, I was once in pain, but now I am healed. Why? Well, because Jesus lived and he died and his body was broken, but he rose again. And because of his stripes, I am healed. Man, I'm amazed how God heals people. You know, we don't get confined to methods of seeing people healed in communion. We've seen people healed as we worship and no one prays for them and no one touches them. But his healing power is moving through the room and people's faith in Jesus, they capture the heart and the love of God and they're overwhelmed. And without anyone praying for them, just in the atmosphere of worship, their bodies are healed and they walk out different. There is not one method alone in which someone is healed. But I do want to encourage you in this. If you're looking for some sort of guide or instruction on how do we pray for this thing, what you'll find in the Bible is that Jesus didn't pray long for healing. The disciples, they didn't pray up a storm for healing. There was declarations of faith. In fact, we would go to say that they didn't ask God for healing, they released it in faith. They released it in faith. I'm not saying this is the only way to pray, but this is how the disciples demonstrated it. This is how Jesus demonstrated it. I love in Acts chapter 3 when Peter and John go to the gate, beautiful, and there's a man who was lame there. He couldn't walk. And they say to him, silver or gold I do not have, but what I do have I give to you. In the name of Jesus of Nazareth, rise up and walk.
They didn't pray fancy prayers or fancy words. And some of us think we need that. Some of us think, I don't know how to pray. I don't know how to articulate it. Can I say it can be as simple as, in the name of Jesus, be healed. In the name of Jesus, ankle pain, get out. In the name of Jesus, back be restored. And if you want to pray something else, you can start to pray blessing over them. But it's not your words that heal people. It's not your prayers that heal people. It's faith in the cross. It's something that Jesus already purchased. And God's looking for a believer to step into a situation with faith in the risen Christ and say, in the name of Jesus, and release healing. We're not asking and begging God for healing. It's His will. We pray for it. We release it. If we don't see it straight away, we keep releasing it. We keep praying for it. We keep believing for it. I like to share it like this. You know, if my dad gets
Thank you, Gabby. See, my voice has changed now. How do I get back to the same frequency I was at before? I don't know. I'll share with you a quick analogy because maybe this will help you see it rightly. And then we'll close in prayer. And so maybe I can have worship team prepare and get ready to join me. And if my dad gave me $5 and said to me, hey, I want you to go and buy me a coffee at the cafe down the road. Go buy me a coffee, come back and bring it to me. And I take his $5, I go to the cafe down the road, and I say over the counter, hey, can I get a skinny flat white with almond milk and a little bit of honey? And they say to me, sure, that'll just be $5, please. And I pull out the $5 and I look at it, check it under the light. I go, oh, I better go and ask my dad. And I call him. Sorry, just give me a second. I'll call him and I say, Dad, can I please buy you a coffee with the $5 you gave me? He's like, yeah, sure, son. Like, please, God, can I buy you a coffee? And he's like, son, I gave you the $5. Go and purchase me a coffee. But I just wanted to double check with you. You don't have to double check with me, son. I've given it to you. I've told you what to do. Go and buy me a coffee. I hang up the phone. I exchange it. I get the coffee. But some of us pray prayers in our own lives like this. We read the will of God in the Bible, that you'd have life and life abundantly, that you'd not be stricken with poverty, that you'd not be stricken with sickness or disease. But we pray with a lack of faith, asking God for something He's already told us to do. He's already paid the price for us to purchase. We just got to go over the counter and redeem it. And this is the faith we approach in healing. We're not asking God, we're releasing healing by faith. What I'm not saying is we don't command God. We're not commanding God. God's given us something and we're commanding sickness to bow its knee to the name of a risen Christ. We're not commanding God, we're commanding the body to come into an alignment with an eternal reality, the lamb that was slain before the foundations of the earth. We release it. We release it. I'll give you two more. Here we go. Let's go with this. I'll end on this last one. When we pray, we put our faith in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. When you look at Acts 3 and Acts 4, when the people are interrogating them and say, how was this man healed? The disciples, Peter and John, they said, in the name of Jesus, this man has been healed. Do you know what's behind the name that you carry? Do you know what's behind the name that you carry? In the name of Jesus. You know, a police officer can stand in front of a semi-truck coming down the highway with its badge on and put out his hand and stop a massive moving truck, a truck that is coming in full force and power. A police officer has the authority to stop that vehicle. The police officer has the authority to stop a criminal in his tracks and say, I'm going to put you under arrest.
Why? Because there's power behind that badge. They have the state government. They can call upon other officers. They can call upon law enforcement to come running to their aid. Even a weak officer can have authority to stop something powerful in its tracks. Why? Because there's power behind the name. Do you know the power behind the name that you carry? Do you know the power behind the name that you carry? Do you know that Jesus didn't only perform miracles in his lifetime, but he's also been performing miracles today? Did you know that he did not just die and rise again to sit on a throne and put his feet up and live comfortably? No, he died and rose again to separate you from sin, fill you with the Holy Spirit so you can do what he did. He said, greater works you shall do than these. What are you going to do with it? Will you join me in taking steps of faith, praying bold prayers, being obedient to what God has said in the scripture, that we would lay hands on the sick and see them recover? Mark 16, Jesus says to the disciples, go into all the earth and preach the gospel to every living creature. You shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. He says that all of these things shall be possible for those who believe. So who is this for? Those who believe. Anyone believe tonight? Yeah. I want to believe. Why don't you stand with me? I want to pray with you tonight. Thank you, Jesus. Thanks, Lord. God, I pray even right now in this room, Holy Spirit, you would align our faith to the cross. As you stand there, maybe with your eyes closed, I want to invite you to take your faith off of yourself, off of how good you are or how bad you are, off of the prayers that you might be able to pray or might not be able to pray. And I want you to put your faith on a risen Savior. Jesus. Lord, we thank you that you are here in this room right now. And I thank you, Jesus, that the same power that raised Christ from the dead lives in us. How much more shall he give life to our mortal bodies? Lord, align our faith with you. Help us to see these things the way you see them. Help us to see other people's needs the way you see them. Align our faith with yours. Help us to live and do what you have called us to live and do, Jesus. Right now, I ask, Lord, in this room, that you would impart into us the gift of faith to believe. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you for joining us. We hope that you enjoyed today's podcast. And we realize that not everyone has had the opportunity to respond to the good news of the gospel. And for this reason, in all of our services and platforms, we want to extend to you the opportunity to follow Jesus. The Bible teaches us that we have been created for a relationship with God. However, sin, which is essentially disobedience, independence, and disbelief, or us simply missing the mark, entered the world and separated us from God. Romans chapter 6 verse 23 says that the wages of sin is death, and a debt was owed, and the Bible tells us that he, Jesus, demonstrated his love for us, that while we were still sinners, he died for us. Jesus paid the penalty for our sin. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." God so loved the world that he gave us Jesus, that whoever believes in him will be saved. All that is required of anyone is that they believe in Jesus, the Son of God, who came, lived, died, and rose again so that we could be forgiven, made right, and given the right to become children of God and to have life forevermore with Him. Today, you can begin a relationship with Jesus. To believe in Him is to simply to respond with faith in our hearts and confess with our mouths that He is Lord. And we do that through a simple prayer. Follow along with me. Dear Jesus, I believe that You are the Son of God. I thank You that You love me and came to forgive me of my sin. I repent from my old way of life and I turn to follow You. I receive the free gift of eternal life and I ask that You fill me with the Holy Spirit so that I can live a life of following after You. I thank You that I am born again as a child of God and that I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. Amen. If you prayed this prayer for the first time, we would love to connect with you and connect you to your next step and the local church in your area. You can contact us on our website at newmar.church. Thanks for listening.